The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Oh, once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rock,
just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rock,
what do you think?
Just
I
like
love
that.
It. That okay. So far, so good. Video is streaming.
All
right, let's get the laughter out of the way first. Okay, hi. Welcome to a Tuesday, everybody. Nicole Sandler here. It's a show as usual. You know, yesterday we had some problems with the video streaming. And I told you that by today, all will be fixed because I'm dumping AT&T. Well, best laid plans. The guy is here. The Bluestream internet installer guy is here. They came by this morning as they were supposed to, and for some reason the signal wasn't coming from the street into the house. So they had to do whatever they do. And then he came back a couple of hours ago, and I said, well, that's fine, but... you know, I go on the air at 5 o'clock. So he's working around me. If you happen to see a man walk behind me, that's all it is. We're still, you know, at the mercy of AT&T, but so far today, all looks well. So here we go. Now, I do have a guest coming up. And actually, this guest, this interview, I recorded on Thursday of last week. Just because for her timing, the guest is the author of this book. But I'm not going to tell you the title of the book yet. Let me explain what it's about, because the title of the book will throw you off. And, you know, if you saw the show card for today, you probably got an idea. It's about conspiracy theories and how they've just exploded really since the beginning of this decade. They go back further, right? But I think the biggest departure from all sensibility when it comes to people, you know, going off the deep end with conspiracy theories centered around the killings at Sandy Hook, right? Newtown, Connecticut, where the shooter, and I don't say his name, a kid who should never have had access to a gun, went into an elementary school and murdered 26 people, 20 of them first graders. As if that wasn't bad enough, then what happened is people start with the conspiracy theories. This didn't really happen. It was crisis actors. And the worst offender of them all was Alex Jones. So this woman, Elizabeth Williamson, wrote a book. It's called Sandy Hook, An American Tragedy and the Battle for Truth. And it's not so much about what happened on that day. And do you believe we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary? It's astounding. And nothing has been done. And that's sickening. But it's about this kind of cottage industry of conspiracy theorists, of reality deniers. You know, I always talk about that I would love to have a decent, reasonable conversation / debate with a Republican, with a principled Republican, but I can't find one, because anytime you enter into a debate, you have to stipulate to the ground rules. And the ground rules are simple. Grass is green, sky is blue. But in today's world, they won't go along with that. The conspiracy theorizing has just taken on a life of its own. And so that's really what this book is about. It's not about the murder of those 20 babies, because honestly, it happens not that specifically, but these mass shootings happen all too often. And I just can't take it anymore. I remember so clearly that day, because I was filling in for Randy Rhodes. And I got up to her studio and in time for, I think, President Obama the next day to read the names of the kids. And one of the kids, one of the little girls, was named Allison. And my heart stopped and I choked. And we should never have to go through anything like that. We shouldn't have had to go through it in the first place. We should never have to go through it again. And yet nothing has been done. It'll be 10 years in December and nothing has been done. And I'll tell you something. This world would be just as fucked up as it is now without all the conspiracy, without this extra added insanity on top of it. You know, from 9/11 on, things have been getting more and more nuts. And from 9/11 to COVID and everything in between, these crazies come out of the woodwork and they decide they know better. They don't trust the media, corporate or otherwise, because what, they're out on the streets and doing the investigation and the research? No. Because they're force-fed this. They're given this this slate of lies by people that they trust. You know, these people who watch Fox and think they're getting news, it's really sad. And, you know me, I'm up on my soapbox again. They couldn't do that over the air. If it wasn't on cable, they couldn't do it because the FCC would shut them down. Because you can't lie and make shit up and call it news. But that's what millions of people in this country and around the world, frankly, watch and listen to and think that that's the truth. So I gotta tell you. So the other day, over the weekend, I actually stopped responding to this guy. But on the show last Thursday with Howie Klein, when we were talking about, you know, what's happening in Ukraine, the reality versus the lies that Fox and others are pushing out to their sad believers. So that was the discussion we had on Thursday. Well, somebody commented on the YouTube video, somebody who goes by the name of We Need Critical Thinking. Now, I don't know who this person is, but they came on the YouTube page and commented. And so at one point during the interview on Thursday, Howie asked me, what do your listeners think about the situation there? And all I could tell him was what I've heard from you. And it seems that the majority of you agree with me that this is horrendous and tragic, and we need to do whatever we can to help save lives, because people, innocent people, are being bombed. They're being killed. Did you see what happened in Kyiv last night and today? It's horrific. So with that in mind, I want to share with you a little bit of what he wrote. He says, hi, Nicole. Howie asked what your listeners think. I grew up on you somewhat, listening in Northern California on the Mark and Brian show. I guess him telling me that he used to listen to me, you know, 25, 30 years ago on the radio is supposed to butter me up. Here's a hint. We need critical thinking. I'm not Donald Trump. You can't flatter me into, you know, agreeing with you. Flattery will get you nowhere, just so you know. And, you know, great. Mark and Brian put on a great show and it was a part of my life. What does that have to do with any of this? Okay, let's move on. He said, keep the talks going. World war is at stake with the mass censorship. It is difficult to hear and see other perspectives of this here in the supposed to be land of the free and First Amendment. Okay. So, so I wrote back, I responded, I said, you're obviously spending way too much time watching Fox propaganda or alternatively listening to Glenn Greenwald and his minions. As for comparing what we do, well, you know what, I was responding to a later comment of his. So let me continue with what he wrote. He says, our country, USA and NATO, help install a neo-Nazi government in Ukraine from 2014, and many Russian people have died from it. You know what? Whatever happened in 2014, perhaps there's some semblance of truth in what you're saying, but I don't give a shit what happened in 2014. Right now, I'm concerned about what's happening today. And then he goes on talking about some whistleblower jailed for showing 90% of people killed by U.S. drones are bystanders. This is called whataboutism. So our friend here, We Need Critical Thinking, is trying to say, well, how could you criticize Russia? Because the U.S. has done horrible things in the past. The U.S. has. Can we start with George W. Bush and Dick Cheney? They should have been brought to the Hague on war crimes, right? But we're not talking about that now. I don't give them a pass. I don't give us a pass for not helping the people in Yemen who are being bombed just as viciously as Ukraine is by the Russians, by the Saudis. We should be all over that, but we're not. Maybe it's because, you know, the people in Yemen aren't as white as the people in Ukraine. It's a shitty thing to say, but, you know, what else is different? So back to his stuff. He's like, let's see. Oh, this was my favorite part. He writes, Russia is liberating with precision. And that's where I stopped reading, frankly, because that's all I needed to hear. Because he posted this the same day that Russia bombed that maternity ward, that maternity hospital in Mariupol. Seriously? Liberating with precision? And so I wrote that. So I stopped reading there. That's all I needed to hear. And I wrote, Russia is liberating with precision. That's all I needed to hear. You delusional right-wing troll. Fuck off. Go live in Russia. Because, you know, that's how I roll. And he wrote back. And again, this is the whataboutism. I voted and donated to Peace and Freedom POTUS candidates for Gloria LaRiva and Leonard Peltier in 2020. Leonard Peltier is a Native American who's falsely imprisoned. What does that have to do? You didn't vote for him. He didn't run for president. He's imprisoned. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And then he says, I'm multi-generation, born in California, and get called for jury duty. Yeah, point being. Oh, but it gets better. He says, some of my great uncles fought real Nazis in World War II, and Russia were our allies. They lost far more than we did. I don't want to go to Russia. My family is here. And besides, Russia is a target with missiles at their borders. And then he quoted my quote, Russia is liberating with precision. And he writes, you left out the, and then in parentheses, compared to what the USA does, because that's what he wrote in his original post. Russia is liberating with precision, in parentheses, compared to what the USA does. Well, again, my friends. Oh, sorry. Buzzer. There we go. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Am I in favor of the U.S. War efforts? It's not defense. I call it the Department of War. No, I'm not. But that is not this. That's not what we're talking about today. We'll talk about that another day. I have before and I will again. But you can't wipe this clean. Vladimir Putin's war crimes. He's exterminating the people. The people of Ukraine. And you're going, well, what about, you know, it's not as bad as what we do.
Bullshit.
It's actually worse, because what the indiscriminate bombing going on in Ukraine right now should scare the shit out of you, because it's only the sheerest of luck that we didn't have a nuclear meltdown when the Russians hit the largest nuclear power plant in all of Europe. It was on fire. And they were shooting at the firefighters coming to put it out. You see, there's a problem there. And this guy is saying, you left out the, compared to what the USA does. He writes, we bomb countries to the Stone Age before we have boots on the ground. I'm not a troll. Howie asked what your listeners think, so I responded. And I wrote, bombing hospitals, schools, and apartment buildings is not, quote, to save regions from actual neo-Nazi fascists who have killed many innocent in Ukraine. That's a quote from one of his other posts. I said, I don't allow lies like that in here. And signed off with my signature, go fuck yourself. You know, I don't need listeners like that. I'm happy if it's just the, you know, 10 of us here. As long as you're not trying to bullshit me. You can't bullshit a bullshitter. You know better than that, right? But Tucker Carlson keeps doing his shit. And did you hear what's going on now? Russian television is running Tucker Carlson's commentaries, if you can call them that. Here's a little bit. Here's Russian TV with their, You can hear the voice of their interpreter talking over him, even doing the Tucker Carlson sound.
Есть ли у Украины биологическое оружие? У Украины есть объекты для биологических исследований.
Что?
You know, he's got the inflections down. Here's the actual thing that the idiot was saying.
Under oath in an open committee hearing, Tory Nuland just confirmed that the Russian disinformation they've been telling us for days is a lie and a conspiracy theory and crazy and immoral to believe is in fact totally and completely true. Whoa.
Bullshit.
It's bullshit. The man spews bullshit. And his network, I guess, you know, swears to it. He lies and they swear to it. Although I believe, not that I watch, so I couldn't tell you firsthand, but I hear they've toned down the rhetoric over there a little bit. Well, they should. Because you know what happened yesterday? Yesterday, we told you that a Fox News, was it a cameraman? Hold on, I've got it here. A reporter for Fox, so-called news, was injured, right? We told you one American journalist, a filmmaker who was there covering the refugee crisis for Time, was injured and is hospitalized. We also told you that Fox correspondent Benjamin Hall was injured yesterday, right? We told you that. Well, what we didn't know then and we know now is that his cameraman, a man named Pierre Zakrzewski, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it, I apologize, was killed in that same attack. A cameraman who works for Fox, John Roberts, who is one of the more heinous figures over there. I don't know, more heinous than the rest of them. I don't know, they're all pretty bad. He wrote, quote, "I worked with Pierre many times around the world. He was an absolute treasure, sending our most heartfelt prayers to Pierre's wife and family." They lost one person over there. Another one is in the hospital. We don't know how serious his injuries are. And Tucker Carlson keeps carrying water for Vladimir Putin. You know, I've got my friend over there in Ukraine, Tatiana, and her family. And just to give you a quick update on them, if I can pull up the thing, I'll tell you, today she sent me the video of the woman who you've seen it by now. I don't even have to play it for you again, who went on the set of Russia's Channel 1 news broadcast as it was on the air, and walked behind the anchor with a sign that said "No War," and then other writing in, I'm guessing, Russian, because she wanted to get to the Russian people there. I'm telling them so Tatiana sent me a message. She said, "Live on the first channel of Russia, the editor in chief of the channel ran out with a poster. No war. Do not believe the propaganda. They are lying to you here." Her name is Maria. Those Russian names are hard to pronounce. Asikhanova, or close. She's already been arrested by police. And then she says there's a video on the network where she admits that since 2014, they have been telling lies. And she apologizes for this. She is very ashamed. And I said, I know that video is going around here too. Amazing. She's a brave woman. And she said, the only scary thing is that she could be put in jail for 15 years. And I said, yeah, that's scary. So today I asked what they need to do, because yesterday, if you were following along, they decided with all the bombing and all the shelling going on, and it was really brutal in Kyiv last night, that they're going to leave, even though they're in this remote region, that area is being bombed now too. So she and her friend and her friend's five-year-old son, they decided, are going to go to Poland. Their husbands are going to stay behind. And here's what she wrote. I asked her, what do you need to do in order to leave to Poland? And she said, we only need permission from the baby's dad. Tomorrow morning, we are doing the paperwork, and probably the day after tomorrow, we leave. And luckily, I'm gratified to hear that she says, I already have two sisters, two nieces, and my brother's wife in Poland. Therefore, we are going to them, and then we will decide what to do. So I'm very glad to hear that. And then she sent me this little story. She said, today I corresponded with a girl from Russia. She commented on my post on the internet. I asked how she's doing. She answered, collecting the rest of my business. When she asked how I was doing, I thought, And then she said, but my whole life is now in a small backpack and in my hand. And the girl asked again, what's in your hand? And she said, my husband's hand. She's going to leave her home tomorrow. Well, she already left her home. She's going to leave her country tomorrow as a refugee going across the border to Poland. But her husband cannot go because men between the ages of 18 and 60 are not allowed to leave the country, you know, with the because they need to fight to stay there. And yet I have idiots like this guy who commented on my YouTube, you know, echoing the Russian propaganda. Perhaps there were neo-Nazis in the Donbas region. Vladimir Zelensky is Jewish. He is a reasonable, thoughtful man. He is not a Nazi. And it's really offensive when people say he is or infer that he is. You need to stop. Turn off Fox. Turn off the propaganda. Do your homework. Stop letting someone else think for you. It's just infuriating. And it, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, what's at stake here, I go back to my initial premise, which is we need to help these people who are being murdered by a madman in Russia. You know, it's almost like Donald Trump. Thank God he was never in the position where he could push the button. For 4 years, I was terrified of that possibility. But now we have that with Putin. Now, the people who are saying, well, we can't get directly involved because that'll trigger World War III and Putin is threatening nukes. Why don't we threaten him with nukes? Actually, I don't think that's a good idea. I think we need to get rid of the nukes. But why is he holding all the power? And the thing is, my bottom line is, I don't think it matters one iota what we do. If we help deliver the Poland's Russian MiG jets to Ukraine or help them with humanitarian efforts or with ammunition or even with, you know, weaponry, whatever they need. I don't see any difference between that and helping them establish a no-fly zone. And if you're thinking, wait, but if we do that, Putin might fire a nuke. You think what we do or don't do is going to make any difference? He's going to do what he's going to do. And you know, he could get a bug up his ass and decide, I'm going to do it today. I'm going to take out Kyiv because they won't bow down at my feet. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And it's not dependent on whether or not we help the Ukrainians. So tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, Vladimir Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, is going to remotely address our Congress. I'll be watching it. We'll cover it tomorrow. I'll have all the information. We've got other stuff going on tomorrow, too, but we will definitely cover that. I'm more impressed with Zelensky than I have been by any world leader in a long time. And I really, I get upset, as you can tell, when, you know, people come out of the woodworks with this nonsense. Stop the whataboutism. We're not talking about what happened in 2014 now. Not saying we shouldn't at some time in the future, but now is not the time for that. This has nothing to do with that. Vladimir Putin is lying. That's what they do. And he and Donald Trump are two sides of the same page. They use the same strategy of just lying about everything. You know, the old Fox News saying, this is Fox News, your original home for fake news. I'll play it for you because it's better when you hear the actual thing. Goes like this.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
They do. And by the way, Vladimir Zelensky, I just watched a compilation of his 2006 appearance on Dancing with the Stars. I kid you not. You see, in Ukraine, he was an actor and a comedian before he became president. Sometimes, rarely, but I guess sometimes it works out like that. All right. I think it's time to get into the interview. So again, the focus on this is not the murder of 20 children. The focus on this is the world of disinformation we're living with and where it comes from. I don't think we get to why people are so gullible, but they are. And it's sad. And I put this off on our breakdown in our education system. And again, it all goes back to Republicans because they don't want people to be smart. The smarter you are, the more you'll push back on the bullshit they try to foist upon us. So get an education, learn whatever you can, debate the world. Don't stop us from saying gay. That's ridiculous. All right. With that, let's go to our guest. And I hope it works today. Let's try this. I'm joined by Elizabeth Williamson. Yay. She's the author of a brand new book called Sandy Hook, An American Tragedy and the Battle for Truth. This was a very important book to write, and it had to have been very difficult. It's not about the mass shooting itself, but the aftermath of it and the almost cottage industry that spawned from it of crisis claims and fake news, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I first, Nicole, got interested in the middle of 2018 when the families of 10 Sandy Hook victims filed 4 separate defamation lawsuits against Alex Jones and his InfoWars broadcast for spreading lies about Sandy Hook for several years that really ignited a lot of threats and confrontation and abuse of the family members.
You know, I remember so clearly when it happened and that, you know, it was just unthinkable. This was the sickest tragedy in an era when there are a lot of really sick tragedies happening, but that this young man went into an elementary school and killed 20 first graders and 6 other people at that school. And then to make matters even worse, the unthinkable, where people are denying that it happened and start targeting the parents who actually lost their children to this mess. It's a really twisted mind that would come up with something like that. And I guess that's what Alex Jones is. Were you familiar with him before you started covering this story, before the lawsuits?
So I had been vaguely familiar with him because in December of 2015, President Trump went on his show when he was still a candidate. And that is kind of where his modern day story really begins, because President Trump saw in Alex Jones's listeners a valuable slice, a valuable constituency for himself. You know, they were people who were deeply distrustful of government, of all forms of, you know, official narratives of our institutions. And so that's why, you know, Sandy Hook, as awful as the theorizing around it was, it actually was a foundational event for the development of and the spread of misinformation in our society. So the same group of individuals, the same slice of our population and of President Trump's electorate jumped from Sandy Hook to other mass shootings, to Pizzagate, to QAnon, to coronavirus, and to the 2020 election lie, and then the attack on the Capitol on January 6, 2021.
So you connect the dots, basically. You know, this is a phenomenon that has been unrolling for, as you point out, many years. I used to talk about, you know, I do a radio show where I have a very liberal, progressive perspective. And I've often said, I would love to speak with somebody to have a real in-depth conversation, a debate, if you will, on issues that we disagree on. The problem is you need to stipulate the ground rules. Like, sky is blue, grass is green. And with these people, you can't do that anymore. If they won't even admit to reality is reality, there's no way you can have that honest conversation because there's just no honesty there. I've come up with this this phrase I use, opposite world, because that's what we're dealing with every day. It seems like they take what's the truth and they spin it around. It's projection, but this is all over the place. But to extend it to the deaths, to the murders of these little babies, and that the pain the parents are going through, it's just unconscionable. So, but your story centers on really the father. Is it the father of the youngest victim who said enough is enough after being targeted? Tell us about him.
Sure. So in my book, Lenny Posner, who is the father, as you say, of Noah Posner, the youngest Sandy Hook victim, is really a hero of the story here. Just to back up for a moment, the people who aspire or spread these conspiracy theories, whether it's about Sandy Hook or it's about coronavirus or it's about the 2020 election being stolen, tend to be like you and I, except for the fact that they have a conspiratorial mindset. People's politics don't necessarily dictate their willingness to imbibe and spread these conspiracy theories. But Lenny Posner, the father of Noah, the youngest Sandy Hook victim, is truly the hero in my book. He had a technological background. He knew how social media uptake had been expanding exponentially among Americans, that everybody had a social media account, it seemed like. And he also knew how the algorithms of these social media platforms were responsible for pushing this content to like-minded people and for joining conspiracy theorists who are operating online together so that it was a force multiplier for them. So, you know, anyone with a smartphone can come up with one of these theories, and where in the old days we all had a conspiracy theorist among our family or friend groups, they were largely isolated. But through the internet, they found each other, they amplified their messages, and they reached millions of people in, if not minutes, within hours.
Oh, without a doubt. And the thing about it is, you know, the internet opened up a world to us. It's, think about the days before the internet and now, except it also gave rise to a way for these people on the fringes to come together. And I really think the pandemic also just amplified it, because people were stuck at home with nothing to do but go on the computer, thus leading to January 6th and the theory surrounding that. But you trace it all back, and Alex Jones isn't the first person to do this kind of thing. Is he just the most effective?
He had one of the biggest audiences. And then, as we saw in 2015 and 2016, he had the ear of the president. So a lot of his themes, you know, targeting immigrants, targeting Muslims, targeting, you know, the victims of mass shootings as, you know, participating in some kind of an elaborate plot in order to deprive Americans of their Second Amendment rights. All of these themes traveled to millions of people on his platform. And then he amplified his own signal by then posting those broadcasts and you know, clips from them on all the social media platforms. So every Alex Jones 4-hour broadcast was also available on YouTube. Clips of it went up on Twitter and on Facebook. So he had a tremendous reach.
Now, you mentioned the way Lenny took him down, basically, was using the tools that are available. And as somebody who broadcasts the show or webcasts the show every day on the internet using YouTube, yeah, I understand those tactics because I've been taken down. My stuff is different, but there is a way you can go after someone who's doing a show, and especially when you can point out legitimately heinous non-facts that they're promoting. And that's what Lenny did. He targeted him using the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and got not only, you know, videos taken down, but got Alex Jones' entire channel taken off of YouTube, didn't he? Is it still off?
Yes. He, by the beginning of 2019, Alex Jones had been fully deplatformed. So he had lost access to every social media platform from, you know, Facebook to Pinterest. But what happened initially was, you know, Lenny had an awfully hard time getting this material taken down. But one thing that did work for him, and it was the first tool in his toolkit, was the copyright laws. Mm-hmm. So it is against all the platforms' terms of service to take photos that he had of his son, you know, who died at Sandy Hook, on a memorial page that he had for him on Google Plus. People were taking that material, videos of Noah and such, and putting them into their own conspiracy videos, putting them on their own, you know, Sandy Hook hoax Facebook page, on their own blogs and websites. And he got that material taken down. He expanded that effort through his nonprofit, the Honor Network, using volunteers who had once been conspiracy theorists themselves, some of them, taking down thousands of pieces of content using these laws.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Williamson, and the new book is called Sandy Hook, An American Tragedy and the Battle for the Truth. And it is not about the tragedy. It's not about the shooting itself. I think many of us would prefer never to hear about that again, but we wish it hadn't happened in the first place. That's a topic for another day, and one we spent many hours on. This one is a really twisted story of people who capitalize on the pain and grief of others. You said you spoke to some of these conspiracy theorists. Did any of them ever explain why would they do this?
So more revealing than my interviews with them, because they are really entrenched, were interviews with some of their family members. Okay. So they helped to explain to me, you know, what also psychologists that I interviewed and social psychologists that I interviewed for my book explained to me using their own research. And that's that these people who gather online and share these theories get a tremendous amount of psychic income from it. They form groups. They're like a cohesive tribe. It's a social circle. There's a bond among them. They praise each other as they come up with new ripples in this imagined plot that they've devised. And so they form, Nicole, this kind of like blob of people, this very tight, cohesive social circle. It's like I described it in the book as, you know, a ragtag army inside a fortress, you know, holed up against intrusions of truth. So when they have that bond and they get so much from this, you know, a whole world, a whole social world around this, when they have that, anybody who wants to assert the truth, whether it's Dr. Fauci or it's a Sandy Hook parent who says, no, this really did happen, those people are villains to them and they're threats.
It's astounding. And yes, you mentioned Dr. Fauci. I mean, I live in Florida. We have a maniac for a governor who put out merchandise on his website that emblazoned with "Don't Fauci my Florida." I mean, it's literally sickening. It's stomach turning, and this is just a whole other level. So the families, I can't believe this December is going to be 10 years.
I know.
In many ways, it feels like it just happened. But then again, you know, I live in Florida. I live in a town called Coral Springs, which is right next door to Parkland. That's our sister community. We share a police department. So this, you know, it happened here. And again, you still see the people who doubt facts. Now, you're a reporter for the New York Times. Is this normal? Do people always... You know, right now there's just this major push against the corporate media. And on one hand, I get it, some of it. On the other hand, you got to believe, you know, the Fourth Estate. That's what ostensibly keeps the government honest, if we can believe that. Where are we today? Is there so much doubting the truth that I don't know how a society goes on like this?
Yeah, I mean, there is a significant swath of Americans who are deeply distrustful of all of our institutions. So, you know, as I said earlier, you know, whether it is the federal government writ large, it's the mainstream media, or it's the CDC. That is what President Trump tapped into. Mm-hmm. He energized, you know, a lot of those folks were not voters. You know, they were so distrustful of the process, they didn't even vote. instead, he managed to harness them, mobilize them to help him win the presidency. And then when he was denied the presidency because he lost the election, he was able to mobilize them to actually assert the falsehood that he actually had won and that there was widespread fraud, which, again, is genius in its way because it feeds right into those personality traits, that deep distrust and that disaffection that people have for our institutions if they subscribe to this theory.
Yeah. And it, you know, again, it's the can't live with it, can't live without it thing. The internet just amplified it, just made it even more, brought, as I refer to them, the crazies together and gave mm-hmm. them a way to communicate. The genie's out of the bottle. We're not going to get rid of the internet, but there have to be some kind of controls on this dissemination of false information. And, yeah. you know, but then you look at Fox, some of those, it's a corporate media outlet who manufactures its own facts. I have a sounder, it's produced. It's like Fox News, blah, blah, blah. We make shit up. Oh, it's your original source for fake news, Fox News. We make shit up. That's where we are right now. And is there any way to try to bring it back? I know Alex Jones was brought to court. He was deplatformed, but he's still going strong and still making a lot of money by spreading propaganda, isn't he?
Yeah. Recent documents released as part of the family's four lawsuits against him, which, you know, I should note, a very big triumph for the families, is that late last year, he lost all four of those by default because he refused to cooperate with document production. He didn't come up with the financial records that the court was ordering him to produce. A lot of testimony, people didn't come. There were no depositions, things like that. He was so laggard and so contemptuous of the court process that the families won by default. So that's a real triumph. But the documents that were produced suggest that during the Trump presidency, when he was really at his heyday and his theories were being echoed by the White House, he had revenues of more than $50 million a year selling products on his site.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And it continues. I don't know what the answer is, obviously, but something needs to be done. Something needs to be done about a lot of things. And I don't know that this can be changed, that this can be fixed. The Flat Earth Society exists. So there are people out there who are so dug in their beliefs. And we see it with the vaccine deniers, so with the COVID response. How are the families doing? I got to ask, 10 years after the fact, 10 years after they lost their baby, it's unimaginable for me. Mm-hmm. And this had to have just made it exponentially worse. Taking the worst thing that you could ever imagine in your life and then have somebody attack you for it publicly, continuously, and then make you a further victim by doxing you. I mean, these people are cruel. They released the personal information about the parents, went mm-hmm. after them as if they had done something. It's just evil. How are the families doing 10 years later for the most part?
So they're feeling hopeful because they did have this triumph in court against Alex Jones. They were strong enough after a few years, as one of the fathers, Robbie Parker, who is in my book, told me, you know, he finally felt 6 years on when these theories started circulating after Parkland to try, you know, to join these lawsuits and to go to court and try and hold Alex Jones and by extension others to account. It's a difficult, long slug. I mean, they, you know, as you say, they've been doxxed, they've been threatened, and more people have come to know what that feels like. Maybe they didn't lose a child, but other things have happened, and, you know, they've lost people to COVID or something like that. You know, everybody can be a target in their own community, and I think that's why Sandy Hook was such a foundational story, because it really was the beginning of a phenomenon that we see every day and that did bring the rioters to the Capitol. You know, this widespread belief in an easily disproven falsehood.
And the thing is, there are Alex Jones wannabes out there. There are other people who are taking what he's done and saying, oh, I can duplicate that. And they have. So it's grown into another cottage industry.
Yeah. So I was a correspondent in Eastern Europe for 10 years. And so what I learned through working on, and three of those were in Putin's St. Petersburg. Wow. So one of the things that I learned was, you know, right now, it used to be during the Cold War, it would take a sophisticated foreign adversary like Russia to sow disinformation across our country and do it swiftly. Now it just takes a guy with a smartphone. And Stop the Steal was really proof of that. That was such a successful mode and model of misinformation. It is being imitated by autocrats around the world. So if we're concerned about Russia interfering with our next election, we shouldn't be, because we've already proven that we're more than capable of interfering with the election ourselves.
You're right. And the, you know, you can see it playing out now, whether Trump got it from Putin or Putin, you know, copied Trump's lies, penchant for lying about everything. We're seeing this man, who I believe needs to be taken out somehow, going around and saying, well, we're clearing the Nazis out of Ukraine. The president of Ukraine is Jewish. You know, and exactly. I'm having that echoed back to me in social media from people defending Russia's right to go in there to clear out the Nazis.
So I just saw my first, actually it was sent to me by my publisher. He said, oh no, is this another front? You know, based on, you know, what you're writing this book about these conspiracy theories. So the latest thing is that now gas prices have gone up because we have done this embargo against Russian imports.
Right.
So this person was postulating that this was a liberal plot. These rising gas prices had nothing to do with Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but rather they were a liberal plot to persuade people to drive electric cars.
Oh, God.
So it really is never ending. You know, this is just, it's kind of it's a psychological phenomenon that takes a political form.
Right. And you bring it all back. I mean, you center in on one of the earlier tragic incidences that happened that they turned into a hoax and blew out of proportion and further destroyed these families' lives. And this was just one as it unfolded. And now it seems like it's everywhere you turn. So, you know, look, I trust my judgment. This is what I do for a living. I read the news and then I try to interpret it. But I'm always concerned with getting at the facts. And my listeners know if I get anything wrong, please tell me so I can correct it, because mm-hmm. I don't want to put out false information. But that's the operating procedure for so many people. And it is extended to politics. You know, I remember, God, it was years ago. Who was it? One of the senators got up there and made a blatant falsehood, and his office, when asked about it later, said, well, that wasn't intended to be a factual statement. Well, maybe, you know, there needs to be a law that a member of Congress cannot openly lie on the floor as part of their speechifying. You know, mm-hmm. maybe we need to hold the truth in a higher regard. And I mean, I don't know how you outlaw lies, but it seems like that's unfortunately where the Trump followers in this country go, and the rest of us are trying to struggle to discern what's real from what isn't.
Well, one of the Sandy Hook lawyers for the families put it best in my book. He said, if there are no arbiters of truth, if no one believes anymore in any arbiter of truth, then anyone can be one. So the facts suddenly become a matter of whatever you concoct. And, you know, what the Sandy Hook families have done in reliving these awful moments in my book is try to call our attention. Nobody likes to look at this crime. As you said, it's horrible and gut-wrenching and heartbreaking. But if we look away to the lesson that they are from the lesson that they are trying to teach us through talking with me for this book, then we miss an opportunity to push for change.
I fully agree. But Elizabeth Williamson, let me ask you this. After the killings, there was discussion. There was debate. Should the photos be released? It happened here in Parkland as well. I don't want to look at them. But maybe they need to be shown for a number of reasons. One, to say, this is real. Stop mm-hmm. with the lies and the nonsense mm-hmm. here. This is what happens when you fire an AK-47 or whatever at a human being. This is what happens. And maybe it would also give some push to the movement to get rid of, you know, assault weapons once and for all. I don't know. What do you think?
So after Sandy Hook, very similar argument was extended by Michael Moore, who, as you mm-hmm. know, filmmaker, did Bowling for Columbine. What he said was he thought that parents should have the choice or consider releasing those crime scene photos as a kind of Emmett Till moment, yep. you know, an opportunity to show people this is the damage that these weapons do. Right. This was his view. In a way, there was a kind of theory that arose, a kind of, collective delusion that arose among these traumatized families. This was really days after the crime. They interpreted that to mean, and he didn't mean this, and he did clarify his statements, but they interpreted what Michael Moore had said about that to mean that he was going to seek these photos. And they pushed for legislation to keep these photos away from the public. Wow. That was a whole separate fight because these families were so traumatized. People were already showing up in Newtown who didn't believe that this had happened, digging through their trash, following them on the street. And so they were trying to lock down access to information in ways that, you know, now when we look at them, and now even when some of the families look at those measures, they say, okay, that was going a bit too far, because if you try to stop access to 911 calls, for example, you are limiting the ability to check on police response and make sure it was appropriate, et cetera. But that was the reaction. You know, that's a very individual decision, I think. And I think a lot of the parents, in fact, Lenny Posner, one of the heroes of my book, did say that was something we thought about because they wanted to have an open casket and their son Noah was grievously wounded, but they thought, you know, it's one of those things where you hope maybe someone else will do it. But once you countenance doing it, you know, for your own child, it takes on a whole different complexion. And so that was never done.
I'm sure. I can't even imagine having to make that decision, even knowing that it might be, you know, the shock that so mm-hmm. many people need and that the nation, frankly, needs.
Yeah. So you mentioned Parkland because I do think that there was something that arose out of that. And that's that young people had this effort to put on their driver's license, for example, like you're an organ donor, mm-hmm. a similar message that said, if I am killed in an act of in a mass shooting or an act of mass violence, I authorize the crime scene photo to be released.
Really?
So that was something that happened after Parkland.
Huh. I'm not aware of that. I'm going to have to look for that because there's been, you've seen on Twitter, and I've said it before around times mm-hmm. of mass shootings. If I am killed by some madman's bullet, politicize my death. Use mm-hmm. this. So, yeah.
I don't know how widespread it is or how far it got, but I do remember that proposal coming up. And, you know, the Parkland kids were so brave in so many ways, and including in fighting against the conspiracy theorists. They're very internet savvy. And, you know, that's another hopeful note. I really feel like the next generation of internet users are going to be the generation that begins to solve this problem, because they are much more skeptical of what they read online and what they encounter online and also what they put online. So I think that's a real bright spot.
Now, Elizabeth Williamson, you're opening a whole other can of worms here, because I've been saying for the longest time, you know, it's time for the next generation to really take over. I'm a Democrat. I'm a progressive. I think the entire Democratic leadership needs to be replaced.
We can't put it all on them, though, Nicole.
No, no.
I mean, I think we all need to jump in. This is a big enough problem.
Right.
It's going to take
without a doubt. And I'm just speaking this one little area. Look, I'd like to replace the entirety of the Republican Party and a lot of other things, too. But this is, you know, we've got a number of And I'm not an ageist. I'm old myself. I'm 62 years old. But we've got octogenarians in the top three positions in the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives who are not, you know, reasonably so, up to speed on all the new technology and everything going on and the new ways of the world, frankly. And look, our generation created this mess. Time to turn it over to the next generation. But we're getting off into a totally other
That's true. But one of the reasons that Congress has been slow to devise a policy solution is that they haven't been quite sure how these algorithms work and how this misinformation spreads. So, you know, another bright spot is that there is an increased understanding. There's an increased willingness because they've been publicly shamed, not for any, you know, inspiring good impulse inside these social media companies, but because they've been publicly shamed, they are more willing to at least come to the table on a solution. Otherwise, they were using, you know, the First Amendment, as my colleague Kara Swisher put it, as a cloak for human greed. You know, if anything can run wild on the internet, that kind of enragement is engagement material, and that's what conspiracy theories are. That can be used to keep people online so they can grab your personal information. They can feed you advertising. The longer you're on there, the more money they make. And this is the content that keeps you there.
Right. And as long as, you know, the powers that be keep utilizing these tools, and I'm talking about Donald Trump, who today I read the plane he was on this weekend wasn't even his anymore. It was a loaner plane. An engine failed, and they made an emergency landing. And now he's soliciting money from his followers for a new Trump Force One airplane because he needs it. And the materials they send out, you know, there's links you can click on. One of them is somebody, you can donate $2,500 a month to him so he could have this plane. As long as there are people who are gullible out there, who have access to the internet, and people who are predators like Trump or Alex Jones will prey on those people, I don't think this is going to end. Sadly, it's a new, welcome to the new normal.
There's a lot of money behind this, yes.
There is. This is a heartbreaking story that you share, but it's an important one to be told as well. And, you know, more power to Lenny Posner. I can't imagine taking this on while he's grieving, as we know he was, for his son, having to deal with this on top of it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the message of the book is this fair that, you know, these individuals who have suffered so much should then make it their life's work to get this material taken down. You know, I would just urge anyone who wants to read this book, don't turn away. You know, it is about the aftermath of the shooting and what happened. You don't have to relive the shooting, but I feel like we owe it to the parents just to understand their story and what happened and to get mad and push for a solution to this problem.
Absolutely. The book is called Sandy Hook, An American Tragedy in the Battle for the Truth. Elizabeth Williamson, thank you for writing this. This is really important. And people need to know that this is going on and maybe put up their skeptic banner a little higher. Thank you so much, Nicole. Great talking with you. I really appreciate it.
Likewise.
So Elizabeth Williamson, the book Sandy Hook, An American Tragedy in the Battle for the Truth. And as she said, don't shy away from the book because you don't want to deal with, you know, 20 dead children again. It's not about that. It's about the crazy conspiracy theories that sprung up around it and that continue to dominate so much of life. You know, I'm sick of swatting away idiots asking about, you know, the Nazis in Ukraine right now. Wrong road to go down. All right. With that, I think we're just about done. The music is playing. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Oh, tomorrow. This will be interesting. We're going to, you know, I'll bring you the latest news and everything. We'll go into what Vladimir Zelensky says to Congress tomorrow morning. And then we're going to speak with a woman named Tiffany Drayton, who has a new book out called Black American Refugee, Escaping the Narcissism of the American Dream. The book just showed up today, so I haven't really had a chance to read it, but the premise is interesting. And I think a lot of people feel the way Tiffany feels. She escaped this so-called American dream here and went back to her native Tobago, where she's living a very nice life, it seems. So lots of ways to look at any. Yes, Kate just saw the man behind me. So tomorrow, hopefully I will have the new, faster, awesome internet going on, working. We'll see. Fingers crossed. But, you know, with technology, I never know what's going to happen. All right. With that, I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening, everybody. What else did I want to say? Kudos to Dolly Parton. Did you hear what she did this time? She said she respectfully declined her nomination to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, saying she doesn't deserve it. She's not a rock and roller. We all need to be more like Dolly Parton. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll leave you with the news. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Russian war against Ukraine escalated in cities across the nation on Monday, including the capital, Kyiv, where a suspected Russian missile hit an apartment building, killing at least two people. That fact makes this news even more surprising. Three European prime ministers of NATO countries are headed to Kyiv to meet with President Volodymyr Zelensky and other top government officials face-to-face. The prime ministers of Poland, Slovenia, and the Czech Republic are representing the European Council on behalf of their president, according to a statement from the Polish prime minister's office that read, quote, "The purpose of the visit is to confirm the unequivocal support of the entire European Union for the sovereignty and independence of Ukraine. The aim of this visit is also to present a broad package of support for Ukraine and Ukrainians." This is great news, but it's also unclear how Ukraine will ensure the safety of those leaders as Russian troops continue to bear down on the capital city with indiscriminate shelling overnight. In fact, this audio was sent to us by somebody in the middle of Kyiv. This was the actual sound outside their window Monday night. By now, you've likely seen the video of a Russian woman who burst onto the set of Russia's Channel 1 News during a live broadcast, carrying a sign with the words "No War" emblazoned on it, while shouting, "Don't believe the propaganda, they're lying to you," and more. Now, Mariana Avsenikova faces as much as 15 years in prison under a new, quote, fake news law designed to stop any public criticism of the invasion of Ukraine. She was quickly removed from the station by police, and her lawyer says her whereabouts are unknown. The online news outlet Baza reported Tuesday that police had initially wanted to fine her under an administrative protocol, but a, quote, "extraordinary meeting of top law enforcement officials decided she should be charged under the new Article 207.3 of the Russian Criminal Code, which was passed by the Duma after they invaded Ukraine, and it covers, quote, public dissemination of knowingly false information about the use of the RF armed forces, such as using the words war or invasion for Putin's, quote, special operation in Ukraine. During a news briefing on Tuesday, Putin was asked about the case. His spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, described the protest as an act of hooliganism. Well, also taking to the television is Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. He will address all the members of Congress via video conference on Wednesday. The public will be able to watch it as well through a live stream. Democratic leaders, in a letter to their members, said the address will give lawmakers a chance to, quote, "convey our support to the people of Ukraine as they bravely defend democracy against Russia's invasion." Now, while President Biden is working to isolate and punish Russia, American officials are expressing concern about this budding partnership between Moscow and Beijing. The U.S. now has information suggesting China has expressed some willingness, providing Russia with assistance in its war against Ukraine. Stay tuned. So moving on, well, we are, but COVID isn't. We've now crossed into the third year of the COVID-19 pandemic. And while the numbers of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths are heading down, experts say the world is certainly not yet out of the woods. There are still an average of about 1,200 Americans dying from COVID-19 each day. Though, over the next few weeks, the CDC does forecast a decrease in hospitalizations and deaths, particularly as the weather improves and people head outside, where it's less likely that they'll catch COVID. But then you look at China, where 37 million people are currently in lockdown as the country battles its worst coronavirus outbreak since the very early days of the pandemic. So China's in a tough spot. As I told you earlier, Putin has asked China for help, both economic and in the war zone. Well, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on Monday warned his Chinese counterpart that Beijing would face significant consequences if it provides Russia with military or economic aid. And to make matters even worse, the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned at a Monday briefing that the potential for nuclear conflict, well, listen to him say it.
Further escalation of the war, whether by accident or design, threatens all of humanity. Raising the alert of Russian nuclear forces is a bone-chilling development. The prospect of nuclear conflict, once unthinkable, is now back within the realm of possibility. The security and safety of nuclear facilities must also be preserved. It's time to stop the horror unleashed on the people of Ukraine and get on the path of diplomacy and peace.
Gutierrez said he has been in contact with a number of countries, including China, France, and Germany, about mediation efforts to end the war, saying it's, quote, time to stop the horror. You think? And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. For more, visit NicoleSandler.com and please click on that donate button.